Studies in the Gospel of John, Chapter 27, The King Before the Judgment Bar. A careful study of all the lessons set forth in this portion of Scripture would require many articles. We must therefore ask the reader carefully to study the text indicated, and will content ourselves with a few leading thoughts. All through his earthly career, Jesus exercised royal authority, and showed himself to be a king. On a few occasions he was greeted as king, as for instance by Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, and by the multitude when he rode into Jerusalem. On the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. But this occasion was the only time when he declared himself plainly to be a king. When Pilate asked him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say it because I am a king. And then in saying, My kingdom is not of this world, he plainly declared his kingship. Jesus was accused to Pilate as a plotter against the Roman government, and dangerous to its peace. When Pilate sought to release him, the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. But Jesus destroyed the force of this accusation, by declaring his kingdom not to be of this world, and stating that since it was not of this world his servants would not fight. In delivering Jesus up to Pilate, the Jewish rulers made it very apparent that they had no real accusation against him. When Pilate said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you. This is the same as though a man should be brought before a court, and when the judge asks what charges there are against him, his accusers content themselves by saying, He is a bad man. In so saying, the Jews virtually confessed that they knew nothing against him, and that Pilate must himself find out the character of Jesus by examining him. But Pilate, on examining Jesus, said, I find no fault in him. And Jesus expressly disclaimed any design against the power of the Roman government. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. These verses define the character of Christ's kingdom and of his subjects. He is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. In declaring to Pilate that he was king, he said, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He is king of truth because he is the truth, and therefore truly a king. For since the king is the one who is above all, whosoever is the truth must be a king, because the truth is that which is highest, and which rises above all, no matter how much it is downtrodden. Truth crushed to earth will rise again, the eternal years of God are hers. The truth is that which abides forever. God is the truth. Truth cannot be destroyed. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. These facts taken together with the statement of Christ prove that this world and the truth are in opposition, and that is shown in the very fact that Christ was on trial. It was the world against the truth. But the world passes away, while truth cannot pass away. Therefore, we find that the world is always in opposition to the truth, and thus always in opposition to Christ. The world crucifies Christ today, even as he was crucified from the foundation of the world. And it is by the cross of Christ that we are crucified unto the world, and the world to us. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Christ is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He himself is peace. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He came and preached peace, and he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. He rules by peace, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It is the peace of God which passes all understanding that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When talking to his disciples the very night he was betrayed, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." All followers of Christ, therefore, have peace, and keep the peace, no matter how much war and trouble there may be in the world. Jesus conquered the world, not by war, but by peace, and only those who absolutely refuse to fight can conquer the world. When Christ's professed followers take up carnal weapons, they may be put to flight. Indeed, the very taking of weapons is their defeat. But it is absolutely impossible to conquer the man who steadfastly and consistently and for Christ's sake refuses to fight. So long as he maintains his steadfastness, he is conqueror. Christ says that if his kingdom were of this world, his servants would fight. But he himself had only a few hours before sharply reproved Peter for drawing the sword, and had healed the wound made by it. Wherever, therefore, anyone makes use of weapons of warfare, he shows either that he does not understand the nature of Christ's kingdom, or that he does not rank himself among Christ's followers. Whoever fights shows himself the servant of another master than Christ, and no man can serve two masters. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. It is of an entirely different nature from the world, and the world is opposed to it, and to Christ and to his followers. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." This shows plainly that the world is opposed to and hates Christ's kingdom, because it is not of this world. Therefore it follows that it is impossible for man to be subjects of worldly kingdoms and at the same time subjects of Christ's kingdom. The followers of Christ, and the subjects of his kingdom, have of right nothing more to do with the government of this world than the subjects of the Tsar of Russia have to do with the government of Great Britain. Someone, without thinking, might declare this to be anarchy, but that would be only because they do not consider the nature of Christ's kingdom. Christ himself was condemned as an anarchist, because the princes of this world did not understand. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Christ's followers can never be anarchists, because the law of God is in their hearts. They represent the highest type of obedience to law. They are perfect keepers of the perfect law. Moreover, although they do not reckon themselves as subjects of this world, they are indeed the very best subjects, since they will even submit to the most unjust laws without opposition. The just are condemned and killed, but do not resist. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Therefore the best subjects that any earthly king can have are those who profess to be and are only subjects of Christ, and not of the world. Earthly governments, however, do not as a general thing know this, and so the men whose presence tends to the strength and stability of the government are discriminated against and persecuted. The kingdom of Jesus is not of this world, but outlasts this world. Being of the truth, it is an everlasting dominion. Christ is set at the right hand of God, in the heavenly places, far above all principality, and power and might and dominion. But this place was of right his even while he was here upon earth. For when talking with Nicodemus he declared himself to be in heaven. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. The King of the universe was on trial before an earthly court and an earthly judge, and on trial as to his right to rule. He showed his right to rule there, as everywhere, by bearing witness to the truth. But even as Jesus is set at the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might and dominion, so has God raised all those who believe in him, and made them sit together with Christ in heavenly places. He loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Therefore all Christ's subjects are kings, far higher in rank than any or all kings of this earth. Power is given them over the nations, the same as to Christ himself. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And he that overcomes, and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. All are called to be witnesses together with Christ. God says, You are my witnesses, and my servant whom I have chosen. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his light. Just as Christ the King was arraigned before the bar, so are all his followers on trial in this world. The court is continually set, the case is always on, and the witnesses are always under oath, if they are faithful and true witnesses like the Master. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Then are they kings indeed, and are never overcome, even though condemned. By the peaceful power of simple steadfastness to truth, the followers of Christ will yet be acknowledged even by the world to have power greater than that of the whole world. Yet will they be like Christ, reckoned among the transgressors, for the sad fact is that judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yeah, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Nevertheless, although the truth may be scoffed at as impractical, and its adherents mocked and persecuted and even put to death, an error will seem to triumph, yet will the truth rise above everything, even as Christ, although mocked, put to death as a malefactor and counted as nothing, arose and took his seat on the throne of God. And at no time has he ever been greater than he was when his life was traded for that of a murderer. His humiliation and shame was his glory. His weakness was his strength. And the curse of the cross was the means by which he was raised to heaven to bless the universe.